All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for game two between the Giants and the Cardinals. Giants have won six straight. The Cards have lost five straight. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Good, good, Marty. Jeez, I just noticed the Giants traded Devon to Houston.
I was gonna let you break the story. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just checked Twitter right before we came on. They traded him to Houston. I've never heard of this guy, Michael Pfeiffer. I don't even know how you say it. I'm looking at his minor league numbers over 4 or 5 years. I don't see anything at all outstanding in terms of batting average or power. I don't know what's behind it. It's a shame. I mean, you know, DeBon, he's very raw, and he's made a lot of mistakes, base running especially. But, you know, he's a great kid, and he's got a lot of talent. He's had some great moments, too. I think he's a favorite of a lot of the fans. So, you know, we'll see how this new guy looks. Maybe he's a better call for this roster. But, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just looking as you're talking. Pfeiffer, if we're both having trouble with it.
Yeah.
Pfeiffer, looks like a catcher at LSU, seventh-round pick. Ninth-round pick in 2017 of Houston. You know, on-base percentage, I guess if you want to look at that, has been pretty good for him, and that's something, you know, they like. But I guess it's the catching depth. This is, you know, with Casale and Bart's really struggling, that you make this trade. But I agree with you on DeBon. Bruce, I think he's playing the best ball he's played the last couple of weeks. So I'm surprised, but La Stella is on his way back.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to be sooner than later for La Stella, and that's why DeBon got moved.
Well, you know, it could be a nice thing for Dusty Baker. You know, the Astros have won 11 in a row. They're really rolling. And, you know, that they've got a lot going for them. And I don't know if they're going to start DeBon in the minor leagues or maybe get him right up to the bigs immediately. But, you know, he's got power. Every now and then he'll yank one way out of the park. He's got speed. He can make the good defensive play. Probably help if he could just have one defensive position to concentrate on. But yeah, it's all about catching depth for the Giants. You know, Bart's strikeout problems has become an issue, and they needed to address it. So that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, and good for DeBon. He's a homeboy with Dusty. Look, they're two Sacramento guys, right?
I know, huh?
So that's a good it's a good landing spot for him.
No doubt.
Good for Mauricio DeBon, and it was a pleasure having him as part of the Giants. Donovan Walton. We've got so many Brandon Wiltons and Donovan Waltons. He's been activated, so they just got him from Seattle, so he'll probably be here for a couple of days till La Stella comes back. So I'll tell you, Bruce, watching Farhan and Scott Harris maneuver this roster, they are experts. They're surgeons at handling this roster.
They really are, and just about every move they make, you can immediately see some positive developments. You know, I mean, Gonzalez has been very good in a lot of ways. You know, a guy you've never really heard of. He comes in, you know, just last night, he hustles out a ball that beats a double play and helps, you know, start a rally or keep a rally going, I think, and gets a nice RBI single to tie the game. So, you know, just these guys show up and they're pretty good. It's not like trading for Bryce Harper, you know, but that's not where they're at. They're mining the lower regions, but they find these gems, the guys who can really help them. And once again, if the team is the team is rolling, they're a factor. And Farhan's is moving the, you know, he's waving his wand again.
Yeah, he does, and he does it very well. This ball club is, Bruce, they've won six straight. They're rolling right now. Their record now, 20-12, is better than it was last year after 32 games, which is interesting since they won 107. What do you see as when you watch this ball club now? What jumps out at you? Because they're putting away teams. They put Cardinals away last weekend for two. Last night they certainly did. And then they just killed the Cousins from Colorado for three there. They beat them 10 straight times. But what do you see about the ball club that's different now?
Different from last year?
Well, just different from losing five in a row.
Well,
all of a sudden, Yeah, they've turned it around.
Yeah, well, I think getting Belt and Wade back was a great thing, just spiritually, to know that you've got some help from the left-hand side, which they're really lacking. You know, Jock Peterson is starting to hit the ball hard again. He's not getting rewarded, but he got sidetracked when he was hot. He'll get hot again. And, you know, they're hitting. It's no surprise, I don't think, to people that when they hit, when they score six, seven runs a game, because they've got a lot of guys who are good situational hitters. You know, Yaz had a big hit last night. And it's familiar in terms of looking back on last year. People are thinking, well, this is the team we had last year, and it's looking like it's going to be again. And there's a lot more moves coming for sure from Farhan. We don't know what they're going to be, but I think they're going to hit. And the pitching's very good. You know, McGee was a setback, but they've got so many relievers that I don't know if it's going to be a terrible thing. Who knows how long he's going to be out, but they play defense, they pitch, and they hit, and I don't think they have a really glaring, you know, overall team weakness, and it shows in the standings. They're just right there with the Dodgers in San Diego.
Well, I agree with you. Just looking at some of the numbers, I'll throw it out to you. On base percentage, they're number two in baseball.
Wow.
At .329. Runs scored, number three in baseball, .163.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, and here's the other one. Home runs given up, number one in baseball, only 18 home runs. I think Stanton and Judge probably have that now.
Just from last night.
Really? And ERA, they are sixth in all of baseball. So you're right. They're getting on, which means there's rallies going. That means that they're getting to the pitch counts of other pitchers. I tweeted last night, I said, you know, we're getting to that point again, like you did last year. If a pitcher doesn't have his A game, they're going to get him. And the guy today, Dakota Hudson, has got 15 walks, 18 strikeouts. Can you imagine what this could look like today?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no question. And, you know, the right-hand side is looking good, you know, with Ruff, and now Longoria's back. Longoria quickly gets one of his patented off-field drives up the alley, and it's just it's all very encouraging. You know, to go in St. Louis and play well is always a big thing. The Cardinals are good, and Webb was exceptional last night. Webb's a big key to it. You know, when he threw that changeup to Arenado and struck him out in the sixth,
wow.
I'm thinking, okay, he's all right. You know, he's there's nothing terribly wrong with him. So, yeah. You know, you gotta have that anchor, that ace at the top, and he certainly is that.
Yeah, the other guy isn't too bad either, the left-hander.
Which one?
How about Rodon?
Oh, Rodon. I'm thinking Alex Wood. I forgot about Rodon. Yeah, did you hear Kruko in the air the other night? He says, Rodon's got the nastiest hard slider I've seen since Steve Carlson.
Bruce, I'm telling you, I don't know if you remember my conversation from spring training, but the first day I met him, I just looked the guy in the eye and I said, wow, this man is serious. And the first time I saw him on the mound, I said, he knows how to pitch. This guy, the mound is his. And he has lived up to that, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night to see him pitch tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. They had him on the air a couple nights ago, just interviewed in the dugout, and he was competing during that. I mean, he's got that serious look on his
yes.
face. He's not a jokester. You know, this guy's
no. He's
dead serious, and the slider is a great pitch. I mean, for those who don't know Steve Carlton, he won 27 games for a last-place team many years ago, the Phillies, one of the greats of all time. But, you know, and of course with the fastball, Rodon is where people all over the league are going, what the hell, this guy is just nasty. And the tremendous 1-2 punch. I mean, who knows? Rodon could wind up being having the better numbers than Webb as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think he will. If he stays healthy with all the strikeouts. But a strikeout guy, it's a long season. It's a long season, so you like to see him get outs easily. You don't have to strike everybody out. So we'll see. But it's really been an interesting week of Giants baseball. I think they've turned the corner. And it looks like offensively they've certainly come around. An interesting week of baseball. Anytime we can mention Bo Belinsky, I like it. Reed Detmers pitched a no-hitter for the Angels the other night against Tampa Bay, who seems to be no-hit all the time. But the interesting thing was 25 outs by the fielders, only two strikeouts, and it's the first Angels no-hitter. And I remember it so well since Bo Belinsky the first rookie to do it for the Angels in 1962. So how about Reed Detmers and the job he did? And
yeah.
He's never pitched a complete game before. High school,
anywhere.
College, anywhere.
Yeah, it was great. And you know, thank you, Joe Maddon, for going against the trend of yanking guys with a no-hitter in progress. I mean, he really needed it. Maddon had a great quote. He said something like, this is potentially a life-altering event. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely what it is. If you go out there and throw a no-hitter, man, you can't wait to get back out there. You know you can go all the way. You know you can pitch in the bigs if you're a young guy coming up. And he's a homegrown draft pick by the Angels in terms of pitching. That's extremely rare. So that was huge. And, you know, Bo Belinsky, you know, way back then the Angels were trying to get any kind of publicity, you know, over the Dodgers, which was almost impossible because the Dodgers were great. But Bo Belinsky was a wild man around town, an incredible partier around Hollywood, and really, really had the great off-field lifestyle going. He could really pitch when he was sober.
Yeah, he was good. He was a great pool player.
Yeah.
And they drafted him from the Orioles. And his girlfriend was Mamie Van Doren.
Yes, exactly.
And they'd come to interview him in his hotel room, and she'd be in there too. And here are the writers, you know. And it was great. Bo Belinsky
classic.
Was great.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't last long, but he pitched a no-hitter. So his name came up this week. So I said, I can't wait to mention that to you.
You know who else, Marty? You mentioned last week. I think you said Pablo Lopez is the best pitcher in baseball, and I'm thinking, I barely heard of this guy. So last night I made a point of watching the Miami game. This guy was just, once again, completely lights out. He was just mowing down the Brewers just with ease. Everything's low with movement, different you know, speeds, but always out of the same arm slot. They had no idea what he was doing. It was really something to watch.
Yeah, and he gave up the leadoff home run to Wong.
Yeah,
and that was it. No walks, 11 strikeouts for him. And
they lose 2-1 mostly because he's out of there after 7. But he's he's out there. He pitches out of a stretch. There's not a hint of deception in his motion, which is true of a lot of guys now. But it just doesn't matter because he's got the same arm slot for 3 different pitches. And the guys that change up, it's like you see guys fooled by Logan Webb. This guy's got an all-world changeup that just drops off the table for guys looking fastball, and it's just, you're done.
Well, where do you see the All-Star game with the National League? And you throw guy out, and Rodon, and Scherzer, and Burns, and Woodruff. You might as well bet the under right now.
I'm going to get it down right now. I'm calling my bookie. I don't have a bookie, but I'm going to get one right now.
Please do. Really? Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah, he's very, very, very good. Very good. Hey, but Verlander was in the news, Bruce. The night Detmers was pitching his no-hitter, here comes Verlander. And I've had to look it up to see how many he's thrown already. He's thrown 3. He was going for his 4th no-hitter, and that got broken up late for Houston.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. I remember him mostly for the way he kept shutting down the A's in the postseason with Detroit. Just say, see you later. You know, we're moving on. You guys are done. You can't hit me. But yeah, he had another great thing for Dusty Baker with Verlander coming back the way he did. You know, it's certainly no surprise. He's such an amazing competitor. He's like Scherzer. You wouldn't put anything past him, even coming off an injury that serious. So, he's one of those guys. You just love to watch him pitch. And I hadn't realized that he'd been assembling no hitters like that.
Yeah, I thought, all right, I remember too when he tied Virgil Trucks, the great name for the Detroit Tigers, and you can look that one up.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember a third one, and apparently he had one, and this would have been his 4th. So Hall of Famer for sure, right, Bruce?
Oh, absolutely, because I think because I certainly felt that way about him, you know, at the time. It's not like in retrospect, wow, look at this, when this guy did. I mean, at the time, he was absolutely at the top of the elite, among the very elite pitchers in the game, especially in the postseason. So, yeah, I would think so.
Well, you've been on this player all year long. When I say he's not hitting much, and you've been very, very much in his corner, Christian Yelich. And, Bruce, he got loose this week. He hit a cycle. How about that?
Yeah, I like that was good to see. I mean, I don't know. He's just one of those guys. Too much track record, too much you know, he's a real stable guy. He didn't let the slumps. He's had some pretty good sized slumps in recent years, but he didn't let that dismantle him. And he's back to himself now. And I'm not surprised at all. He's one of the class acts in the game.
Well, the Chicago White Sox had a moment this week, and boy, can you imagine Tony La Russa going through this with the 6-run lead in the ninth inning?
Yeah.
And they lose the lead, and Naylor hits a grand slam, and then they come up to the next at bat. The guy hits a 3-run homer in extra innings to beat the White Sox 12-9. And, you know, it's the first time ninth inning or later anyone's hit a slam and a 3-run homer. Josh Naylor, now he's
good
on the COVID
grief.
List. But can you imagine Tony La Russa, knowing him the way we do, with watching a game like that unfold? And it's crazy.
Yeah, well, his hat started to sizzle. It actually caught fire, I think.
Well, they made a couple of errors in there. The right fielder dropped the ball. The shortstop threw a ball away.
Yeah, brutal. You're seeing a lot of that these days. The Phillies have been blowing leads. Last night, they managed to come back and hang in there and beat the Dodgers in a really wild game. But and, you know, when the Giants say that they're going to play aggressively all game long, you see more and more evidence of big leads that aren't holding up. You got to add on, and that's what the Giants intend to do. But speaking of the Dodgers, you know, we talked about Gavin Lux's throwing problems. Did you see his latest one?
No, I didn't.
Against the Phillies, Segura's on third. I think one out is a pop fly in a shallow right field. Just the most routine play you'd ever see for a second baseman. Just no way that you'd try to tag up and score. But Lux he never gets his feet set. He's kind of off balance. Segura goes, what the hell? This guy hasn't been throwing well. And Lux just kind of flipped a sidearm throw to the plate, and Segura beat it. Total embarrassment. Yeah,
wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that reminds me of the World Series. Remember with Blue Moon on third, and it was a Joe Morgan backpedaled, remember?
Yeah.
But got Blue Moon at the plate. It's a great World Series moment. But I could see the visual of just the way you explained it.
Yeah, because he wasn't preparing himself to make a throw. And I don't think anybody in the stadium thought there would even be a throw. But Segura, you know, he knew the history. You know, with Joe Morgan, it's a little different. He might be backpedaling, but he still might nail you. But, you know, if a guy doesn't look ready to throw, it's always worth a chance. He might beat it.
Nice. Nice one. What do you think about the Yankees, Bruce? You know, anytime the Yankees are the Yankees, and they are the Yankees now with all the home runs. I think they've got 48. They've won 17 of 19. They're 24-8. And this stat was, someone put this out this week. Any time the Yankees have started off 22-8 or better, they've won the World Series. Now they're 24-8. How about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've never been a Yankee hater or a Yankee lover, but I always enjoyed watching them in the postseason when they're good. It just elevates the whole scene, and I'd certainly like to see them prevail in that division. Stanton and Judge, you know, Maurison, Mantle, Ruth, and Gehrig. You know, I mean, they really are. I wouldn't say they're quite that good, maybe, but they're frightening hitters. I mean. And both of those guys know how to play Yankee Stadium to the hilt. Just hit a good solid line drive to right field, and the ball's gone. And needless to say, when they get it all with a dead pull, it's going to hit off a restaurant somewhere. So really fun to watch, and they've got some pitching. They've got a guy. You've been watching Nestor Cortez?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, this is a guy with he changes his delivery like three or four times, maybe in and at bat. He comes at you all different ways, sort of not like Louis Tiant or Cueto, but in the same vein where you don't exactly know how I'm going to deliver the ball. And he's having a lot of success, so that's been kind of fun.
Yeah, very interesting. When they go well, baseball seems to thrive. And, of course,
yes.
Now look, you got the Mets. You know, the Mets lost last night to Seattle 2-1. Scherzer pitched a decent game, and they got him late. But, you know, the Mets and the Yankees are doing well. And for New York baseball, it seems to get everybody fired up. It does.
Yeah. Many years ago, there was a great doubleheader in New York in the 80s, mid-80s. The Mets were playing St. Louis in the daytime at Shea, and the Yanks were playing Toronto at night. Both huge games in the race. And I was there, and I covered it going cross town between games. And that's one of the greatest days, you know, I experienced in my life, just to be part of that New York scene where both teams were huge. the town's buzzing over both teams. Now they're playing on the same day. That was a great one.
Mm. Well, for those just joining us, as Bruce told us earlier in the show, Mauricio Dubon traded to the Houston Astros for a catcher, first baseman, Papirski. We don't know much about him. And we've got a Brendan Donovan playing for the Cardinals and a Donovan Wilton now playing for the Giants. So that's the moves for today.
I'm glad you said it.
Only baseball. Only baseball. All right, May 14th, 1972. First game with the Mets, the great number 24, Willie Mays. He homers against the Giants. Don Carrithers, remember him well.
Yeah.
And they beat them, and the Mets win the game 5-4 over the Giants. And Willie always said when he came around, he almost ran into the wrong dugout.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the idea of the Giants trading Mays was kind of inconceivable, but there was one team that would have made at least a little bit of sense, and that was the Giants because of his history there. He's got the NY in his cap, and now he's out there playing for the Mets. His first game, you know, he's looking at it. Ken Henderson is playing center for the Giants. You know, Bobby Bonds is out there. You know, some old friend, Tito Fuentes and Jim Rayhart. Now he's on the other side leading off. He's leading off that day ahead of guys like Buddy Harrelson and Tommy Agee and Cleon Jones and all those guys. And Ray Sadecki started the game for the Mets, which is kind of appropriate. Sadecki had the great quote, something, "This game was invented for Willie Mays 100 years ago." Wonderful quote by Ray Sadecki. But, yeah, I mean, a great moment for Mays there. And I found this, the great Pete Hamill, one of the great New York writers, a great writer, period, describing Mays coming back and hitting that home run in his first game with the Mets. He goes, "It flew high and proud through the New York air over the infielders, traveling sweetly and purely, obliterating the rain, landing at last in some summer afternoon in 1957.
Great. I love it.
Beautiful.
You know what I like about that? You didn't need a quote from Willie Mays to figure it out.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. It's just the description of what it was. Well, we got the Cardinals today. It's Jacob Junis. Bruce, he's a pitcher. This is not Rodon. This is a guy who comes at you with sliders and as they say, sort of a junk ball pitcher to some degree. And he goes against Dakota Hudson. What do you think about Junis today?
Well, if he can last in the rotation, you know, it never hurts to have a guy like Junis after somebody like Rodon. It's like coming at you with Zito after Bumgarner. You know, I mean, just a total change. Or you know, Lincecum after Bumgarner. It's wow, this is a completely different thing. You don't have any rhythm from the night before in terms of, you know, timing. You got a guy that maybe you can't figure out. He's a pitcher. It's so early to say. You know, he's had some good outings, and he does look like he knows how to pitch. And if he can stick, it's a nice little bit of change in rhythm for the opponents.
Well, it's a good day because it's the Cardinals not hitting at all, and from the right side especially. The Giants have eaten up Arenado and Goldschmidt to some
degree. Yeah, they have. They really have, yeah.
And Junis pitched against them last week, and Yepes, who looks like, you know, one of those sluggers, you know, he gets in the box. He's a big guy, and he says, "Just throw the ball, and I'm going to hit it." You know, it's that look. He hit the home run off Junis last week, so we'll see what happens. But all right, well, we got good baseball today, and then tomorrow we've got Rodon going and maybe Wainwright, Bruce. They haven't named a starter yet. He's on the COVID list, but maybe they'll bring him back tomorrow night. That would be quite a matchup.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. That's one of those. You don't want to miss one of those. Wainwright's a classic. We've talked about him even as a possible Hall of Famer, certainly in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And, yeah, coming off COVID, you don't have really no idea, you know, how bad it really was. But I tell you, I don't think he'd go out there if he wasn't ready to be himself. So let's hope it's tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Bruce. Have a great day.
Great. Thanks a lot, Marty.
All right, take care. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure to talk baseball with him on a Saturday or a Sunday. All right, coming up, Joe Sheehan, the Joe Sheehan newsletter, one of the best out there. And Joe's always got very good opinions about the game of baseball and some of the trends and some of the analytical sides of baseball, too. So a pleasure to bring Joe on. And we'll do that right after these messages. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.